Before we open the word this morning, I just really wanted to express my thanks to Pastor Lewis and Sue for all they did with the garage sale. I had some good reports coming back from Tagum there. They've already started the work there. They've painted the outside of the building. It's looking really good and doing a lot of the work in the actual knocking down the old sheds and things. A lot of things are happening and progressing really well. So appreciate your heart in that, and certainly all getting together behind for the work in Tagum, all that's happening there. Some good things happening there. I'll get some pictures together and put some things together for you in the next week or two. So we praise God for that, all that is happening there. That is what, before we open the word, be good to pray. Josie's cousin Ernie passed away yesterday, and she's been caring for him with Graham. They've been in, Josie's here now. And we just really want to pray for them. They've done a huge amount caring for their cousin who was originally got in the floods in Townsville, destroyed his house. He moved down here and really had no family really look after him. And Graham and Josie have done a fantastic job. But just really want to pray for them at this time, and just pray for all of us as we open the word. So let's just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're a good Father. And Lord, we've heard of your goodness, Lord. And Lord, that you're the God who's always with us. And Father, that you comfort all of us, Lord, when we're in difficult times. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your strength is there for us, Lord. Your life is there. Your love is there for us, Father. And Lord, for our sister Josie, Lord, and for Graham, Lord, we just pray for your hand upon them, Lord, with the loss they've just experienced, Father. And Lord, you know all the difficulties and all the circumstances there, Father. But Lord, we just pray for your refreshing and your strength and your comfort upon them, Father. And Lord, our brother Michael Gretsch too, Lord, just keep your hand upon him, Father. And continue to strengthen and comfort him, Father. We just thank you for that, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for your hand upon each and every one, Lord. For those that are sick, Lord, among us, Lord, many that have rung in sick, Father, Lord, today, Lord, many with flus and different things, Father. We just pray for your hand upon them, Lord, for your strength upon them, Lord, for our brother Pastor Andrew, Lord, and his health concerns, Father. We just thank you, Lord, that you're the God who loves us. You care for us, Lord, but you also are the God who heals. And so, Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your grace in every way. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to share something quite simple this morning, but something very important that if we get this wrong, we're really going to struggle in our Christian walk. Our theme for the year is about going deeper, and certainly that has certainly been the challenge for all of us, to go deeper and deeper into the things of God. I want to talk about the difference between the things in God which come for free and the things in God which we really do have to work out. Now, it's really important that we understand the difference between which the things that are free and which are the things that we have to work out. Because if we take it's a free attitude to the things we're supposed to work out, then we're going to find that we end up being very unproductive in our Christian walk. And you really struggle in many areas of your life and with your faith in different areas if you have that free attitude to the areas where we're supposed to actually apply our diligent effort. But also, well, the flip side of that is there's areas where we are free. There is a freedom that we have. And if we take the area of where effort needs to be applied and start applying effort to the areas which are free, then we're going to find that we're people that are under a lot of bondage and a lot of fear, under a lot of bondage, and actually get caught up in legalism. And it's really sad when you see people get caught up in that when they miss the whole point of the cross of Christ and the grace and the freedom we have, and they take the areas where we're supposed to apply effort and then superimpose that over the areas that are free. And so we want to be diligent in that. We certainly want to go deeper in the things of God, but we don't want to make the mistake of putting effort on what is free, but also the mistake of being free with the things that we are supposed to be diligent and apply effort in. And so the challenge for going deeper is really important for us. We want to go deeper, but we want to make sure that in that process that we don't end up being legalistic or in bondage or putting effort on what is free. But we want to go deeper and apply effort into those areas where the Scripture encourages us to do that. And so that's really what I want to speak about this morning. There's a quote from the famous preacher Spurgeon. He says this: "I'd recommend that you either believe God up to the hilt or else not believe at all. Believe the book of God, the Bible, every letter of it, or else reject it. There is no logical standing place between the two. Be satisfied with nothing less than a faith that swims in the deeps of divine revelation. A faith that paddles along the edge of the water is poor faith at best. It is a little better than a dry land faith and is not good for much. And so we want to go deeper into the things of God. And we want to apply effort and be diligent in the things that we're supposed to apply effort in. And we want to bask and rest in the areas of freedom and grace and liberty, the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And we don't want to mix the two up. We want to be people that grow well. And you'll see the people in life, I see the people that actually do grow are the ones who actually put effort in the right areas. And the ones that are free in those areas struggle, and I don't see them growing. And they're the ones who can possibly fall away when things happen in life. But those that understand the freedom we have in Christ and then don't try to make that an object of effort, they'll also enjoy the freedom and the peace and the grace that we have in Jesus Christ. So I want to look at three areas of each, of areas that we have freedom and salvation in. And so just these are the ones I quickly look at, areas that are free and areas that really require effort. The first area I want to look at is this: what is free is the whole area of salvation. That salvation that's been beautifully shared around communion, didn't know what he was sharing about, he didn't know what I was sharing about, but the freedom that salvation is actually free. It's not something that any of us can earn. You cannot earn your way to God. And it's a sad fact that there's still a lot of people who maybe start off from the whole book of Galatians is that people who started off in a freedom, but then they tried to earn their way. There's no earning. When you give your life to Christ, salvation is a gift. There's nothing that you can or I or anyone can do to earn our salvation. You can never get good enough. You can never be good enough. So if you're trying to be good enough to have salvation or get yourself in that right place where I'm then able to receive, you can never get yourself in any right place at all. The only way that we can get to our Father is through the cross of Christ. And Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." And it's a gift of God. And some people struggle in making a commitment to Christ because they think, well, how can God accept me? I'm not good enough. Well, that's the whole point. You're not good enough, and you'll never be good enough. So stop trying to be good enough, because it doesn't work, because our good enough is never good enough. We can never be good enough to God's standard of perfection. He's completely holy and righteous. You're never going to get to that. The only way to apprehend that is through the gift of the cross, receiving Christ and receiving his forgiveness, receiving his cleansing, and allowing the cross of Christ to do its work, that we have perfection granted to us, credited, imputed into our lives by the blood of Jesus Christ, and therefore we have holy and acceptable for God. And so we can never earn our salvation. And so that's an important thing, which I think most of us would understand that salvation is something that is freely given in Jesus Christ. But if you didn't know that, I want you to know today that is a free gift that is available to you, that you can have the promise of eternal life. Life is not about life on this planet. Your life is not about this. So don't get all caught up about this world and about this life. It's not about that. This whole life is purely preparation for eternity. How well are you preparing for eternity? If you don't know Christ, if you've never given your life to Christ, you're not prepared at all. So that if you don't know Christ, when you stand before the Father in heaven, you're standing there on your own trying to be good enough. Doesn't work. But when we're in Christ, we stand there, we're clothed in Christ, we stand before the Father in his righteousness. And so that's what life is about. It's about the preparation. First thing is about our salvation, which is a free gift. You can never earn it. You never get good enough to get saved. You only get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so that's one area that is free of our salvation. But there's another area on the flip side of that I want to talk about, is this area of our own spiritual growth. And while salvation is a free gift, it's freely given, freely available, spiritual growth is something that just doesn't happen. You growing in your faith, you growing and going deeper in the things of God is not just something that will happen automatically. And if you felt that or you thought that, then I'll tell you that it doesn't work that way. The only way to actually grow in the things of God is to apply some effort in that. It says in 2 Peter 1:5 and 7, "For this very reason, make every effort," and that's because of what you've been given. "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and a mutual affection, love. And so there is a progression there, and the scripture tells us to make every effort to. And so these areas are areas of character. These are areas of who you are as a person. And your character development, your growth, and the outworking of Christ in you, the fruits of the Spirit being made manifest and demonstrated in our life, is not something that is just going to be an automatic thing. It's something that we have to apply ourselves to allow the grace of God to flow through our lives, but to apply ourselves that we will actually grow. But see, some people actually don't understand that. They think, well, my salvation is free, and now I just have to rock up and everything will all work out. It doesn't work that way. There is effort, there's a diligence, there's an earnestness, there's a passion, there's a desire, there's a zeal that we need to have and apply in the things of God if we really are going to grow and we are going to go deeper. It doesn't happen automatically. And if you can look, some people have been Christians for many, many, many years, and yet they can be very shallow in their life, because we can fall into the trap of just coasting along and thinking, well, I'm saved and, you know, I've made it. That's what life's about. But there's actually, what am I taking into eternity? And who we are, the character, who we develop, that's the eternal who we are. It was what we take into eternity, not the things and what we accomplish, not the things that we accumulate, but who we are. And so we want to build, we want to grow, we want to develop godly character. We want character to be formed and shaped in our hearts and in our lives. It's so important that we do that, but it takes effort to do that. And people that don't grow are ones who just will coast through that. And we don't want to be people that are just coasting through. There's deliberate effort. There's takes time. It takes time. If you really want to grow in God, it will take time. It will take effort. It will take energy to be expended to do that. As in Proverbs 2, 3, and 4, I love the way it describes it. It's talking about wisdom crying out. It says, indeed, if you call out for insight, or wisdom, as it says in some translations, and cry out for understanding. The difference between understanding and wisdom is simply understanding is being able to encourage others and to actually apply that wisdom. It's to have a handle on that. And if you look for what is silver, for if you look for it as for silver, and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If you will look for it as silver. You know, gold is something that they just find, is alluvial gold. We know we had gold rushes in this country. We've had Ballarat, the great gold rushes and things that have happened around there. But silver doesn't just find, just isn't in nuggets lying around. Very, very rare, extremely rare ever that you just find a nugget of silver. Silver is something, if you want silver, it's something that has to be extracted. And it's quite a lengthy process to do it. Usually it's within lead. With lead, the formation of silver has to be separated out, or it can be in a whole different other elements as well that it needs to be separated from to get hold of the silver, to grab it out and to have something that is very, very precious. It takes a lot of effort. It's not just a matter of walking, oh, there's some silver, I'll pick it up. You want silver, you're going to have to put a lot of effort in. There's a lot of processes that go into actually obtaining silver. And if you really want to grow in the things of God, there's a lot of effort that is required in our own lives. We can't just cruise through and say, well, praise God, I'm born again, and expect that I'm just going to grow without applying any effort in our life. There is effort that is required in our life if we are really going to grow spiritually. It says to look for it as hidden treasure. And we've seen all those movies where they've got the treasure map and they all get off on their expedition and off they go, and they've got all their equipment and they go there and they're searching around. Sometimes there's a convenient place marked X that they're looking for, and they put all this effort in and they're doing all this stuff. And yet the scripture's telling us that if we really want to go deeper, it's going to take a lot of effort to grow spiritually. What are some of the things that you can do? Well, obviously our own time that we spend in the Word of God is really important. But what about going along to Grow Group? You know, are you serious about growing in God? Because that's what Grow Group is about. Well, Grow Groups have started up again. Some people say, oh, look, I can't go to Grow Group. I get home from work and I'm really tired. Man, I tell you what, if there's treasure, if I was to tell you that there's $1 million hidden in your backyard, I tell you what, I don't care how tired you are, you would be there, you'd have a shovel, you would be digging up every single thing until you found that. You wouldn't care how tired, because there's $1 million in my backyard. Now, please don't go home and try that. I'm not responsible for anyone digging up their backyard. All right, but you would, wouldn't you? If you saw there was something of great value, it wouldn't matter how tired you were, you had actually put in the effort to do them. And really, how much effort, if we really want to grow, the things of God are supposed to be the most precious things in our lives, and I'm sure they are. There's nothing more precious than the things of God. And therefore, it takes effort. It takes effort to do things when you don't feel like doing it. It takes effort to do things when you're tired or exhausted or whatever. But if you're serious about going deeper in God, we need to apply effort to that. Our salvation is a gift. Nothing you could do other than surrender and accept the grace of God, the sacrifice for Christ for your sins. But to grow in the things of God, that's going to take some effort and some diligence. And I'll tell you that right now, that every one of us is as close to God as we want to be. You're as close to God right now as you want to be. Some people say, oh, I want to be so much closer. Well, then get closer. Do something to get closer. Open the Bible. Get on your knees. Get into a group where you can grow and share the Word of God, or in the ladies' fellowship or whatever it is. Put yourself, position yourself in a place where you're going to grow. Because if you really want to grow, it takes effort. We can't cruise through that. We can't just cruise through. Because the strength of our character is really important. You're going to need to draw on that when life happens, because life happens. And so we want to be deepening ourselves in the things of God. It will take some effort. But the effort that's required to grow in God, there's no effort for salvation. Salvation is a gift in Christ. It's been given to us. But to grow in the things of God, it depends on your effort. And it depends on you putting yourself out. It depends on you... what's on Tuesday nights these days? What's on TV? Is it The Block? Is that on now? Seen some things coming up. Whatever it is, maybe you could forego that. Or whatever it is, maybe I'm a little bit tired. I don't get home until, 7 o'clock. Fine. Grow group starts at 7:30. You come home, jump in the car, go there, or go straight there. Because you're hungry. If you're really hungry for something, there's a French proverb, and I'll quote it to you. It says, a good meal ought to start with hunger. It's a French proverb. And if we're really hungry, if you're really hungry for the things of God, if you're tired or busy or whatever else, those things take precedence and it requires effort. We can't coast through that. We don't want to go through just being a coasting Christian, because coasting Christians are shallow Christians who don't grow. And so the areas that we do really want to apply effort in our lives, and also to give our very best in every circumstance. Now, there's the story of Jimmy Carter. Now, most of you might remember Jimmy Carter. Well, my generation will remember. He was a former president of the United States. And that was during quite a difficult time with a bit of Cold War type stigma still hanging around, and fingers on the button and all that sort of stuff, and the Iran crisis and all the big things that were happening while he was president. But before he was president, he actually was in the U.S. Navy, and he actually applied to be in the U.S. nuclear section, nuclear Navy. And there was an admiral in charge of that, and his name was Rickman. And he was a very strict person. And so Jimmy Carter, he wanted to go into the nuclear Navy, so he had to sit before this admiral, who insisted on personally interviewing every single officer that would apply to be a part of the nuclear Navy. So they've got submarines and other nuclear armed vessels. And so Jimmy Carter wasn't president at that stage. He was there and he was very nervous, because this guy was a very strict guy and a good guy, but I'm pretty scared of this guy. So he was before him and he's sort of sweating. And anyway, he said, look, you talk about whatever you want. So for 2 hours, he let Jimmy Carter talk about any sort of thing. And then he sort of honed on some things. And Jimmy Carter eventually was thinking, gee whiz, I don't know. I feel like I don't know anything, as he was honing in on him. And then he said to him, and how did you go in the Naval College? And then Jimmy Carter, after feeling a little bit flustered through all of these questions and things, suddenly felt, oh, this is okay. Because he was at number 59, I think, out of 820. And so being 59 in a class of 820 is pretty good, isn't it? In the top 59 out of 820. So he said that, and thought the admiral might congratulate him for that. The admiral said absolutely nothing, just looked him straight in the eye with this piercing look all the time. And finally, the admiral said this question to him, and it's a good question for every one of us to ask ourselves. And he said to Jimmy Carter, he said, did you always do your best? Now, his immediate response was, yes, I did. But then as he sat there under the steely gaze of this admiral, penetratingly looking into his eyes, he suddenly thought, well, actually, maybe there was times where he could have maybe studied a little bit more about understanding the allies and some of the tactics and different things, and maybe he didn't really fully apply himself. And so, and he said to him, well, no, actually, be truthful, maybe I didn't. And all the admiral did was just swivel his chair around and just said the words, why not? And that was the end of his interview. And that's a good question for all of us. If we're not actually giving the Lord our very best and applying ourselves diligently to grow in the things of God, why not? Why not? The Lord is everything for us. We all say that and we all sing that. And if we want to grow in the things of God, we need to apply ourselves to that. We can't coast that. Salvation, that's the free gift. But spiritual growth is something that we've got to work out, something we've got to diligently apply in our lives. And so are you doing that, or is it, oh, I'm too tired, or I'm too busy? If you're too tired or you're too busy, we need to look at our lives and say, Lord, really, where do you really fit in to that? Lord, I really do want to grow. We're serious about going deeper. And that picture there is of drilling, and that drilling, there's some effort to get through. Maybe there's some rocks to get through, and maybe there's, for some, it's the rocks of complacency, or maybe there's just some layers of just indifference or just excuses or tiredness or whatever else we want to make. But we seriously want to grow in the things of God. And I encourage you, you know, with Friday nights, we have Grow Up, an opportunity for those who are really hungry, who want to grow in the things of God. And Friday night, yep, Friday night, end of the week, everybody's tired. But it's a great opportunity to grow in the things of God. And there are plenty of opportunities we have, but how well do we diligently want to apply ourselves in the things of God? And God is not like the admiral, who was a very stern and strict admiral, but he's a loving and generous, gracious father. But how much do we really want to grow in the things of God? And are we giving him our best? And if not, why not? Why aren't we doing that? And so that's one area that requires effort to grow spiritually. Another area that is free, let's flip back to the other side, is this old area of approval and acceptance. And this is one area where I've seen people really beginning to struggle with, and because they actually apply effort to this area of getting approval and acceptance of God. And so that they, even the things I've said about growing in God, people think, oh, I better do that to get the approval for God. No, don't make that mistake. You're growing in God because you're called to grow in God, and you want to grow in God, and you want Christ-likeness and character to be formed in our heart and out of our love and reverence to him. But we never do that, or we don't do anything trying to earn acceptance and approval of God. Even your service, don't serve God that he might approve you or accept you more. God accepts us totally and completely. He loves us completely. He accepts us completely. You are totally approved and totally accepted. And there's nothing you can do on the effort side of things to bear on that, to make God love you anymore, to accept you anymore. There's nothing you can do. But some people get caught in that. We can get caught up into effort where we just get in a bondage and we get under pressure and we get under stress because we're trying to do things in order to earn some acceptance or approval from God. And that's a trap that many people can fall into, but there's nothing we can do to make God approve of us or accept us. We are approved and accepted, and that was sealed on the cross of Christ. He's given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. We stand as sealed, as approved and accepted by God. And he accepts us, each and every one of us that have given our life to Christ. It's freely given to us. And so it doesn't matter how hard you work, he's not going to, accept you more. Doesn't matter whatever you do, he's not going to approve of you more. You stand approved and accepted by the cross of Christ. And so the effort we want to apply is not trying to be approved of God, getting God to love me more. God can't love you anymore. He died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross for you. That's the pinnacle of love. Greater love have no man that he might lay down his life. It's the pinnacle of love. He's given us everything, laid aside everything for us. And so we are fully loved and fully acceptable to God. It says in 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we loved God, that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. God loves us. He loved you. He loved you completely while you were a sinner. Do you understand that? God loved you just as much before you gave your life to Christ than when you did give your life to Christ. Think about that for a moment. When we were his enemies, when we were objects of wrath, Christ died for us. The pinnacle of his love was demonstrated to us when we didn't even know God. In fact, when we were hostile to God, we were alienated to God. He demonstrated his love at that time to us, even when we're not sinners. So now we're a Christian. Yes, we walk in the benefits of being his child and the favor and the blessing and the grace and the promises and the covenants of blessing and provision and all the things that he gives us, healing and all the wonderful things that we have. But he approves us and loves us the same. He loves us the same. The highest point of love was the cross. And that was given to us when we were at our lowest point, when we were enemies of God. And so God loves us and approves us. So don't fall into the trap of being a performance-driven person that's trying to do stuff to make God earn God's favor or God's love, his acceptance or blessing. It's a cruel thing to get caught up in. We don't want to get caught up in that. There's no effort in the approval and acceptance of God. In Ephesians 1:7, it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace." We already heard about grace earlier this morning. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ that we are cleansed and forgiven, and we have full access to God. Sure, if we don't come to Christ, then we stand before God in our own sense of righteousness. And we know where that gets us. It doesn't cut it. And we know God is a holy God and he's a just God. And we know there's a consequence for sin that is left undealt with if we don't give our life to Christ. But once we've given our life to Christ, we stand accepted and approved of God. We have forgiveness and the love of God is flowing freely to us. There's no wall of hostility between us. But we can enjoy the benefits of our love. And so we don't want to apply effort to that. Don't try to make God love you more. He loves you as much as everything. But there is some another area, a flip side, where we do have to apply some effort. And so what's the flip side? And that's this area of our relationships one to another. It's an area that we have to actually apply relationships for. And don't make the assumption that just because, oh, look, we're all Christians, everyone's going to get along wonderfully. People are different. People are at different stages of their different journey. Someone's a baby Christian who still got a whole lot of issues and they don't understand a whole lot of stuff. We can't expect immediately that that person's going to understand what someone who's walked with the Lord a long time understands. And so that whole human relationship area, the way that we relate to one another, is something that we all have to put effort into. And the scripture tells us that time and time again. Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to live at peace with all people. To make every effort. Effort, that's the effort word again. Every effort. And so our relationships with one another, don't think they're just going to all happen just naturally. We have to work at that. We have to invest into people. We have to care for people. We have to love people. We have to honor people. We have to do that. We have to make every effort to do that. Living in peace with one another. And that area of forgiveness is an important area. Christ has given us forgiveness. We're forgiven of all sin. We've totally had that gift of forgiveness by the blood of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is ours. We are forgiven. But forgiving other people, that's something that we have to work at. And that whole area of forgiveness. And we have to make sure that we're mindful to do that. And just one thing I want to say too, just be very careful. And I've said this many times, well, not many times, many years ago probably have said this, but a good reminder of that is the area of secondary offences. Don't take offence on other people's behalf. It's wrong to do that. Oh, so I'm offended because of someone else offended someone else. Because we might be in our own sensitivity think that that person was offended, but in their own self and where they are in their own walk with God and their own maturity and their own understanding or own relationship, they may not have had any offence at all, and yet we can get offended on someone else's behalf. And when we carry any sort of offence, it actually breaks relationships. So we've got to be very careful about carrying secondary offences. And also, too, maybe if there was offence between a brother and a sister or two sisters or two brothers or whatever it was, they may have got together and resolved that in the scripture way and repented and brought that before the Lord. But you're still holding on to that and you're still judging someone. And we've got to be really, really careful about that. We have to make every effort in our relationships. Romans 4:19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and a mutual edification. And certainly having a heart of forgiveness. And always something else to work out too is that we always judge our own motives and say our own motives is good, but we judge other people by their actions. And then we question their motives. We say our motive is good, and if my action was wrong, well, I'm sorry, but my motive was right. But other people, we say, your action was wrong, therefore your motive must be wrong. We give ourselves the benefit of doubt rather than giving other people the benefit of the doubt. And so we've got to work at that to make sure, hang on, I've got to be very careful about judging the motivation of somebody else. I've got to be really careful. I've got to make an effort in that. Because if I'm judging other people's motives about why they do what they do or why they didn't do what they do or what they should have done or didn't or whatever it is, if I start making those judgments, then I'm going to start causing relationships not to be so good and strained. And so I need to make every effort with that. Be very careful that I don't, secondary offences. I don't make judgment of other people's motives. I don't know their motive. We always think our own motive's good, and we give ourselves the benefit of the doubt. I meant right, and because probably we did. Well, maybe they did too. Maybe it just came out wrong or didn't happen in the right way. And so that's one of the things that we can work out in the area of relationship. A couple more scriptures, Ephesians 4:3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And that word about making every effort comes up a number of times. There's other scriptures that says, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with all men. And so you can't force other people's reactions or other people's responses. You can't do that. You can't make somebody forgive you, or you can't make someone do this or that. But you can make yourself be humble and repentant, and you can make yourself reaching out. We can do those things ourselves. We're responsible for ourselves to make every effort. And the acceptance and the love that we have in Christ is something that's freely given, but in relationships. Because did you know that people are people? Isn't that an insightful statement? Right, we're all people, and we all have our own frailties and our own weaknesses, and so that's why we have to make every effort in our relationships. Guard it. It's very precious what we have as a church family. Very precious, the love and the care and all of those things. But we need to guard that, every one of us. We need to make every effort to preserve that together. And the other area is that we have to work on is our relationship with our Father in heaven, our relationship with Him. Now, we have salvation with Him. We have righteousness. We stand before God as holy and pure. We are justified as if we'd never sinned. We have all of those things given and credited to us. But the intimacy of our relationship with our Father in heaven, guess what? It actually takes effort. Same as you have a husband and wife. Okay, they stand before the altar and they go there, they exchange vows, I now pronounce you husband and wife. Well, that's the beginning of a journey. That's not the end of it. It's the start of it. It's the start of a journey of discovery and growing and learning and living life together. And the same as when we become a Christian, that's not the end, that's the beginning of a deep relationship with our Father in heaven. And now God is always there, and He's always available, and He's always waiting, He's always listening to us, He's just waiting for us to spend time with Him. He's there saying, oh, is He going to pray now? He's not going to pray. Oh, He's going to pray now. God is just waiting anxiously for us to spend some time with Him. He's waiting for that, and to build that depth of relationship in prayer and just hanging out with God, spending time in His presence. It takes effort, and it won't just happen if you don't put any effort there. Now, everything on God's side is already geared up, ready to go. 100% all in. God's love, His grace, everything is there and available for us. But for us to grab a hold of the things of God and to walk closely with Him, it depends on ourselves being available. How available are we? How available are we to spend time developing our relationship with God? oh, look, I'm busy, I've got kids and I'm tired and I'm working and I'm this and I'm that. And yeah, but isn't it really important? Isn't the most important thing is our relationship with the Lord? And it takes effort to do that. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all our strength, that we're to love the Lord with all that we have. And, you know, why not? If it's less than all, why is it less than all? I'm not saying these things to condemn us. I'm saying these things to encourage us, that if we seriously want to go deeper into things of God, there are things that we have to apply ourselves to. We can't just cruise with that. Now, God is always there and he's always available to us. Always. Even when we fail, Scripture says, even when we are faithless, he is still faithful. He is always there for us. But if the depth of your relationship with God, and again, I'll say it, is as deep as you want it to be. Because if you look at it and think, well, maybe my relationship is maybe not as deep as it could be, it's not because God's not available at the moment. God's having a hard time. God's 100% available. And so if it's not connecting at that level, then I got really nowhere else to look other than in the mirror and look at myself and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I really want to grow and cultivate that relationship, Lord. I just want to deepen that, Lord. And sorry, Lord, that I've made myself so busy or so this or so that or so something that I'm not really with all my heart and with all my mind and all my strength, with all. But Lord, I'm sorry, anything that's less than all. And Lord, I really want to give you all because I really want to go deeper with you. And that's the challenge for all of us. We can't cruise on that, cruise in your relationship with God. God's always there. And so because he's always there and always willing and always available, we can sometimes take him for granted and just, oh, well, when I need him, I'll grab him because he's there. That's not relationship, all right? God is faithful. He's loving. His heart is to us all the time. He's always pouring his love towards us. But it's up to us to have that effort of just saying, Lord, here I am. And Lord, just to love him and to do that, it depends on us. That requires some effort. I want to flip it back again. What's in the final area, which is a free area, which doesn't require any effort, and something that we can just rest in and coast in and just relax in? And that's the area of purpose. See, before we become a Christian, finding purpose in life is a difficult thing. Really, what am I here for? And so some people try to establish that and try to do a career that maybe makes some money, and maybe out of money try to buy things that perhaps they'll feel that give them purpose. Or maybe try to do a career or something where they feel, at least I'm trying to make a bit of a difference in this thing that I'm doing. But God has actually gives us the gift of purpose. When we give our life to Christ, there's actually a purpose that God stamps upon our life. There's a gift of purpose that he gives us. There is a calling that he establishes in each of our lives. And it's something that is given to us freely. He gives us purpose. It says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so there's a purpose that you have that God has gifted to you. Now, if you don't know what that is, I suggest that you talk to someone to help you find that out, if you don't know what that purpose is. But every one of us has got the general purpose, obviously, of sharing the gospel, of caring for people and doing all of the things that the Scripture says of us. But we do have a purpose, and it's gifted to us. There's a plan that God has for your life. You didn't have to sit down and nut it all out and try to plan it out yourself. God did that for you. He laid out a plan and purpose for your life. He's done that, and he's gifted that to us. And so there's good works that God has prepared for us. I didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to do anything. He prepared them for us. It's already ready to go, already there. It's just ready and waiting. And that's a free gift. It's just something God has freely given, things that he's done and organized and arranged and put in place for you to walk in and to live in and to bring life and to hope in and to minister in. Areas that God's already positioned and set up strategically, all ready to go. You didn't have to do anything. It was done. It was gifted to you. But there's a flip side. And the flip side of this is that while God has given us purpose, us being fruitful, it requires effort to do that. requires effort. And, you know, Pastor Pat before was talking about those that helped with that funeral service, which was beautifully done by Pastor John. And it was great that people did that, and people rising up and people doing that. It takes effort. It takes effort to do anything. And if you think, look, I'm a Christian, I'm just going to coast. I love God and I'll rock up the church and praise God. Look, it's more than that. There is purpose that God has for you. And sure, that you may outwork the purpose in a different type of settings. It could be in your workplace. There may be a purpose that you're outworking. Also, obviously, in the life of the church, there is a purpose that you have. Every one of us need to be serving. And I praise God that we have a high percentage of serving, but that means that there's still those who aren't. And we all want to be fruitful in the good works that God has planned for us to do. And it takes effort. I tell you what, it takes effort. It takes effort to, you know, Pastor Lou was setting up all of this stuff. They were running around for weeks picking up stuff from garages and people's houses and doing that and storing it and doing that and organizing. Everything takes effort. Everything does take effort. And sometimes we think, well, hang on, I'm busy, man. Whoa, I'm busy. We're busy. Tell you what, everyone I talk to is busy. But unemployed people are busy because, tell you what, Xbox takes a lot of time. You know, getting up those high scores and, you know, getting up those levels and takes a lot of time. It's a hard life. It's a lot of work that goes into that. Everyone is busy. Everyone is busy. People retire and they say, I'm more busy now than I've retired than before. Now, they may well be. But everyone is busy in their own mind. We're all busy. And so we've all got the excuse of not doing anything, haven't we, really? Because we're all too busy. But the bottom line is that if we are going deeper, and is actually there's areas where we have to apply effort. Now, there's things that God has already prepared for you to do, not for me to do, not for someone else to do. And he's just waiting for you to do them. And those things are prepared. They're hanging there. But it takes a bit of effort to do that. You've got a tree in your backyard and the tree grows and it's got all this fruit on it and it looks fantastic. Look at all the fruit. It looks fantastic. I'll tell you what, somebody's going to have to make a bit of effort and get that fruit off the tree, yeah? It takes some effort. And so it's an area that we have to actually do something. We have to apply effort to. It's an important part of our growth. And one of the great ways to grow in your relationships is through serving. Because I tell you what, people will let you down. People are on the roster with you. Aren't they on the roster? Where is everybody? I'm the only one here. What happened? Well, that will test you. It'll test your own character. It tests your heart. Are you going to judge them and say, oh, they're unreliable? Well, no, they might have just got tragic news that morning. You don't know. We don't want to be quick to judge, but it'll test us. It tests our attitude in serving. How quick am I to condemn them? Oh, they're lazy. They're unreliable. They're this or that. We don't know what's going on in their life and how quick we can be to judge and to condemn. We can't do that. But I tell you what, in the place of serving, you will be tested in that. Our attitudes are tested. Everything can be tested in that. And so, but ultimately, you want to achieve the purpose that God has called you to. And you want to look back and have had a fruitful life, fruitful in terms of the things of the kingdom of God. And all of the things that people in the world do are good things. And if you do those, yep, you look after your kids, praise God, people in the world do that. You've got a nice family and you've got a nice home and you've done all this stuff. Well, people in the world, they do all of that too. So we need to actually apply ourselves into doing the things that have some eternal consequence as well, like sharing our faith. You know, it doesn't just happen that you walk into the room at work and immediately as soon as you walk in, people fall on their knees and are all convicted and say, oh, I've got to give my life to Christ. Has it happened to you? It actually happened to Charles Finney, but that we're not Charles Finney. He walked into a factory floor and everybody immediately fell to their knees weeping and repenting and receiving Christ. Praise God for that. But if that doesn't normally happen for us. And so if you're in the workplace and God's positioned you there, you've got some people there that you know what will happen to them if they don't know Christ. But it takes some effort. It takes some effort on our behalf to talk to them. It takes some effort to pray for them. It takes some effort to invite them along. It takes some effort to do some of those things. And so my encouragement to us is Let's not coast on the things that we're supposed to put effort on. Part of our Christian walk requires us to actually have some effort in. We have to put effort in our own spiritual growth. No one else is responsible. You alone are responsible for your own spiritual growth. Where you are with God, as I said, you're as close to God as you want to be. So it's an area that we have to work at. But we don't have to work at our salvation. It's a free gift. God has given that. Nothing you can do to earn your salvation. It's only surrendering and receiving Christ. And also nothing we can do to make God love us or accept us anymore. Just won't love me more because I serve him. Won't love me more because I work hard for him. He's going to love me just the same. He loves me totally, completely and utterly, unconditionally, fully loves me. I have 100% of God's love. So there's nothing more than 100%. God won't love me 110% because I'm serving him now. Oh, God loves me more because I did something. No, I had 100% before and I've got 100% now. I have the full total love of God. Every one of us is loved of God, full love of God. He loves me 80%, now he's going to love me 90%. He loves you 100%. So nothing we can do for approval and acceptance. But and in our relationships, yeah, we have to work at that. We have to work at our relationships with one another. It takes some effort. And it tells us many times in the scripture about our relationships with one another. It takes effort for us to cultivate that. And it may be that, look, I don't really know too many people in the church and maybe feel a little bit disconnected. Well, maybe the effort is go along to Grow Group and get to know a closer group of people that will pray with you and stand with you. You can share your heart with them and all the great triumphs and all of the struggles, and people that will share with you and love you and get close to them and stay with you. But that's your choice. It takes an effort to do that. It takes an effort to do that. You know, the worst thing a pastor can hear in a church is people saying, oh, look, I don't feel like I've got any friends. And I'm thinking, man, that really is up to us. Our relationships with people, we need to make every effort and keep making effort with that all the time. We build that. One of the greatest ways to do that is in those small groups together, in our grow groups together. And we can build that. Our relationship with God. Yes, he loves us completely. His love is there. His grace is there. He's always there for us, always pouring his love upon us. But if we just ignore him, we're not going to be building intimacy with him. And that requires, as I said, availability. We need to make ourselves available. And really, it's just a discipline of us doing that, saying, Lord, I'm available. Here I am, I'm available. And I'm not going to make excuses, because we've all got good excuses. Every one of us, we're good at excuses. But Lord, I'm just going to come and I'm going to sit in your presence. And that love that you've just been wanting just to pour upon me, Lord, I'm just going to bask in that, Lord, and allow you to pour your life and your love and your grace upon me, Lord, and just to sharing your hearts and understanding that it takes effort for us to do that, and we have in the sense of being available. But also being fruitful. Being fruitful. We need to apply ourselves. You've been given a purpose, but we need to walk in that purpose. And so, yes, we definitely all want to go deeper in the things of God. Let's apply effort where we need to apply effort. Let's not be lazy about the things of God. And it says in Hebrews about, not being lazy in the things of the Spirit and the things of God. But we, through faith and patience, we will inherit blessing. And so we don't want to be lazy and make excuses in those areas where we're supposed to apply effort. But in the areas that are free, we don't want to try to put effort in that, making God love me or prove me more or earn my salvation. Try to do all of those things, because I'm going to end up legalistic, I'm going to end up in bondage, I'm going to end up finding myself disconnected, not only from God, but even to others around me. So we want to make sure that our hearts, what is free, let's receive that. The grace of God is free. Salvation is that free gift. If you haven't given your life to Christ today, receive the free gift. Just say, yeah, I want that gift. I want Jesus in my life. And do that. You can't earn your salvation. It's not if I've been good enough. Forget that. Only way is through Jesus Christ. So let's stand on our feet. I want to pray for us. And the things of God, where there's a freedom and that we're free in, and we just enjoy the blessing of those things. And the areas where we need to put some effort in, We want to be ones who are saying, yes, Lord, I'm going to do that. I'm not going to be a lazy Christian. I'm not going to try to coast through life because I'll come off the rails, Lord. I really want to apply myself. I want to be a disciple, a disciplined disciple. So, Father, we just come before you now. Father, we just, first of all, we thank you, Lord, for so much that is freely been given to us in Jesus Christ. So we thank you for the gift of salvation. Lord, that didn't matter what we tried to do, we couldn't do it. But Lord, you did it for us on the cross. And we're so grateful, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the freedom that we have, Lord. We thank you for the free love and grace that we enjoy, Lord, that you pour your love upon us. We thank you for healing. We thank you for provision. Lord, we thank you for your protection, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're always with us. We thank you, Lord, there's so much, Lord, that is freely given to us, Lord. And Lord, we don't even fully understand the richness of all that you've freely given us, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we'll grow more and more in understanding of the things that are freely given to us, Lord, and that we will not err in trying to earn the things that are given. But Father, the things where you've encouraged us, Lord, to apply effort, Lord, we don't want to just take a free attitude and just a lazy attitude to those things. Lord, we want to give you all everything that we have, Lord. And so, Father, we want to give you our best, Lord. And Lord, if our answer was, the question was, have we given our very best, Lord? And we have to say no, Lord. Lord, we want to be able to say yes, Lord. We want to give you our best. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you don't condemn us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you don't condemn us for our failures, Lord. But Lord, you encourage us because you want us to grow, Lord. You want us to be so much more intimate with you. And Lord, you want us to be everything that you've made us to be. So, Father, we just thank you for your word today. And Father, I pray, Lord, if anyone doesn't know you this day, Lord, let them receive the greatest gift of all, the gift of Jesus Christ. So we ask this now in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.